And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Say amen when you get there. It is a very, very familiar story if you have been, amen. If you have been in church in any particular time or any length of time, this is a very familiar story. Everybody say the burning bush. Everybody say the burning bush. Verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, what in the world is this? He says, I'll turn now to the side and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn up. So when the Lord saw, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I want you to underline that, circle that in your Bible. He said, here I am. And then Moses begins to hear from God about the vision and the direction that God has for his life. God starts telling Moses, this is what I want you to do. He starts telling Moses, this is where I want you to go. He starts telling Moses the vision and the future that he has for him. Go down to verse 10. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? But Moses said to God, underline that, circle that. But Moses said to God, he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel of Egypt out? And so God said to Moses, I am with you. I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this conversation that Moses is having with God through a burning bush. Amen. Say amen, church. Amen. The background here is Moses has been raised in Egypt, but he's a Hebrew. That's his heritage. It's his background. He is a Jew. He is a Hebrew, but he has been raised in Egypt. And he's been raised in Pharaoh's palace. He's at a place of maturity now where he's beginning to see some of the abuses that have happened in his nation. And he's out for a walk one day and he notices an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew. Hey, that was good. I just made that up, didn't you? Hebrews. Stop, Jamie. Read Exodus chapter 2, okay? I want you to go back, read Exodus chapter 2. Moses goes out for a walk. He steps out of Pharaoh's palace. He sees an Egyptian beating on a Hebrew, and Moses gets mad. And unexpectedly, Moses is triggered in that moment and is angered in that moment. And he gets so ticked off that he not only goes over and defends the Hebrew, but he starts beating on the Egyptian. And he continually beats on the Egyptian until the Egyptian is dead. And then he drags his body off, read it, and he hides it in the sand. Immediately, Moses knows that he's made a mistake. How many of you have done that before? Yeah. And immediately know you've done it? Dang it. Huh? Immediately, listen, Moses knows that he's made a mistake. Immediately, he knows that he's missed it, that he got carried away. And because of this, Moses decides that he's going to run. Listen, church, because Moses made a mistake, and because of it, he was afraid he was going to get found out, and he decided to run. He knew that he was going to run because he did not want to get found out for committing this horrific crime, so he runs for his life, and he ends up in this place called Midian. Everybody say Midian. He ends up in this place called Midian, and he hides there for 40 years. Church, He runs because he made a mistake, and he knew he had made a mistake, and he runs to Midian, and he hides there for 40 years. And I want you to think about this, because for 40 years, Moses has been in hiding. For 40 years, he has been running from the call on his life. He's been running from, really, honestly, what he's been born for. He's been running, really, honestly, from what he has been born for. And he has this moment where this burning bush experience calls out to him. And Moses says this phrase in Exodus 3:4. Look at this. He says, "Here I am. Here I am." The burning bush calls out for him. "Moses, here I am. Here I am, God." Where is Moses? Well, Moses is in Midian. Moses is in Midian. Midian means strife. Church, where is Moses? Moses is stuck in a place of strife. This is not where God had called Moses. This is not where God wanted Moses. This was not the place that God wanted Moses. This is not where God had placed him. He is in Midian, which means strife. God had a call on his life, and Moses made a mistake, and he ran, and for 40 years, that's where he's at. For 40 years, he is in a place that God did not design. He is in a place for 40 years that God did not plan him to be in. He is in a place that God had not called him to be. This is not a place that God had wanted for Moses, but for 40 years, he's in strife. He's running, and he's hiding because of a mistake. Church, you've got to get a hold of this. He is hiding because of the mistakes he made. And I read that phrase and I thought, my God, how many of us have been there before? My God, how many of us have been there before? My God, you say, hey, God says, hey, where are you at? God says, where are you at? And in our hearts, we say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, but in our hearts, we know here is not where God. In our hearts, when we say, here I am, Lord, we know that here is not where God wants us. Church, here is not where God has called us. Where are you at? Here I am, God. But you know that here is not where you're supposed to be. Here, many times in our lives, is that place of strife. We're stuck in that place of strife. That's our Midian. It's that place of shame. It's that place of regret. It's that place of guilt. It's that place of fear. Oh, come on, somebody. For 40 years, Moses is hiding in strife because of fear. He's hanging out in strife and bitterness. And all of a sudden, listen, after 40 years, God goes and lights his bush on fire. Ain't you glad he don't leave you where he left you? Ain't you glad God will show up even if you've been there stuck for 40? Oh, you're missing it, church. God showed up and lit his little world on fire. Amen. Immediately, God shows up. He lights the bush on fire, and he wants to get a hold of Moses. And he says, Moses, where are you at? I got better for you. Where are you at? What are you doing? Moses said, I'm stuck. God says, why are you spending your life here? Why are you in this place? Why are you giving all of your effort and energy and your time and your emotions to here? I don't know who needs to hear this morning. I said, I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but why are you giving all your time, your effort, your energy, and your emotions to here? To somewhere that God has not called you? Oh, thanks for that rousing applause. Thanks for that crazy amen, y'all just... Why are you spending decades of your life? You're just wasting them in Midian. And God wants to know, Moses, why are you hanging out here? What are you doing? You're wasting your life in strife. Aren't you thankful that God is faithful? Come on, somebody. Aren't you thankful that God is faithful to light your world on fire if he needs to give you that burning bush experience, church? Amen. So he can begin to talk to you. He can begin to speak clarity into your life. He can begin to speak the calling onto your life. Ain't you glad he's not going to leave you where he found you? Come on, give him a shout of praise this morning. Praise him this morning. Come on. Church, we all need a burning bush experience. We all need a burning bush experience. God will light your world on fire if he needs to. God will light your world on fire if he needs to, so he can talk to you, so he can... He's going to get your attention. When there are things in your life that you need to change, and you're not willing to change them, and God has to change them for you, it's usually not pleasant. Oh. It's usually not pleasant. Oh, I got a bunch of hardheads in here. Maybe it's just me. When you got to change things that you don't want to change and God has to change them for you, it's usually not pleasant. Amen. You're stuck. It's not where God has called you. It's not the place that you're destined to be in. Why are you spending all of your effort in a place that God has not called you? It's not where God wants you to be. It's not how even God designed you to be. Amen. You don't need to hear me talk about it. What you need to know is when I do talk, you get it in your heart and your spirit and you feel it. And you say, man, I'm not where God wants me to be. Church, Moses hid for 40 years in strife. Amen. Sometimes God has to call out to you. Sometimes God has to call out to you, and the place that you're at, you know it's not exactly the place that God wants you to be. And God is speaking to you. Sometimes he's really got to light your world on fire. Sometimes he's really got to get your attention. And so God begins to have a conversation with Moses. He begins to give Moses glimpses of his future. He begins to tell Moses what he's going to do, what he wants from him. He gives him glimpses of his future and all the places that he wants Moses to go. God, listen, as the ultimate visionary. Boy, I wish I had here. God is the ultimate visionary. He begins to cast vision for Moses. Come on, church. He begins to cast vision, and he begins to paint the picture of all the Israelites that are in pain and how they need someone to stand up and how they need someone to deliver them and how they need someone to be their rescuer and to go. And so Moses begins to get this vision for freedom. Amen. And as he gets this vision for being a deliverer of God's people, he not only says, here I am, God, but he says in Exodus 3:11, look at this. But who am I? But who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? What can I do? I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a convict. Just a felon. What can I do? Just a guy that can't figure it out. Just a guy that can't get right. Make a mistake. I respond the wrong way, and now here I am. I'm living my life out here in the middle of nowhere doing something with no purpose. It's aimless. It's pointless. I'm stuck in strife. I'm wandering. Boy, it sounds like so many of us, don't it? I'm in a place of wandering. He's stuck. It sounds like so many of us, doesn't it? I've so many times had that in my own heart. Listen carefully, church. I have so many times had that in my own heart where it's not just, I know I'm not necessarily in the right place that God has called me to be, but if I feel God even beginning to nudge me in that place, I have that mindset of, who am I? Who am I? Jamie, Dustin, start a church. Who are we? Who am I? When you feel God pushing you in those directions and you step back and but who am I? I'm a nobody. That's what Moses said. But who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? I ain't nobody. You know what Moses was saying is the same thing that we say. Not just who am I, but God, do you really understand the past that I'm coming from? Do you really understand the injustices in my life that I've dealt with? Ooh. Do you really understand the things that I'm surrounded by? Do you really understand the issues that are in my history? And Moses begins to make the same mistake that we make. He begins to go over his past and all this, and he begins to go over that moment where he killed that Egyptian. How many of you have beat yourself up? Who am I, God? Moses begins to go back and relive that mistake. He begins to go back and he is watching them beat that Hebrew. And he's reliving it. He's going through the torment. And he immediately starts to remember the mistakes he made. Does it sound familiar? He goes back. And I think about how many times in our past we had a moment where we experienced something like Moses. Was it just me? We have a moment where we experience something like Moses. Moses had experienced injustice, but whatever it was, it triggered something in Moses. And we all have these moments in life where something is triggered on the inside of us and it causes us to make a mistake. Oh, four of you have only made mistakes. We all have something inside of us that triggers something in us, and we all end up making a mistake. Amen, church. Amen, church. I want to show you this. I want to show you this. It causes us to make a mistake, and the mistake, listen, in its origin, listen carefully. The mistake in its origin wasn't that you meant it to end up in the place that it did. I'm trying to think how I'm going to say this. Say this. It was just a misguided emotion. Listen carefully. It was just a misguided emotion or passion. For Moses, it was righteous that he was angered for the abuse that was happening. Listen. That little baby's still in the show, ain't he? Everybody's watching that baby and not me. Everybody watching. Check this out. Listen. For Moses, it was misguided. It was righteous for Moses to be angered about the injustices and the abuse that was happened. That was actually the call that God put on the inside of Moses. Listen to me. That was the call that God put on the inside of Moses, was to be able to stand up, to see the injustice, and to want to respond to it. The emotion wasn't the problem. The passion wasn't the problem. The anger wasn't the problem. It was that it was misguided. I'm going to explain it to you, and hopefully I'll get more. The anger wasn't the problem. The passion wasn't the problem. The emotions wasn't the problem. It was that it was misguided. And most of us, our past that we're running from is because it is misguided desire and passion. It could have been a misguided desire to be loved. It could have been a misguided passion to be wanted. It could have been a misguided emotion of trying not to be lonely or to fit in or to make a difference. Whatever it is, sometimes in life, it's just misguided. It's not, listen to me, it is not that the original desire was wrong. It was just misguided and it caused us to make a mistake. We've all been there. Our emotions override reason. Our emotions override reason. Our emotions over our intellect. Church, we're emotional people. Our emotions override reason. And again, I love Moses, because his response was rage. Watch. His response was rage. I think there's really three responses that Moses makes that people have a tendency to make, especially in the world we live in right now. There are three responses that we have the same tendency to make that Moses made, especially in the world we live in right now, church. And the first response he had was rage. His first one was rage, Exodus 2:12. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He killed the Egyptian. But notice, for 40 years after he rages, the abuse continues. For 40 years after he rages, he killed the Egyptians, but for 40 years the abuse continues. So his rage and his killing the Egyptian did not stop the abuse. Rage will always produce a regrettable result. I said, rage will always produce a regrettable result. Where's my angry people at? I'm talking to myself. Rage will always produce a regrettable result. Anytime you inject rage into the atmosphere of your life, you'll produce regrettable results. You see, again, rage, listen to me, was not the issue. The misguided rage was the issue. There are things that are supposed to anger us. There are things that are supposed to upset us, frustrate us, tick us off, get us to a place where we want to fight, get us to a place where we want to stand up, get us to a place where we'd be willing to put our life on the line, get us to a place where we would be willing to put our future on the line. There are things that are supposed to rage us that we see. Rage is a God-given gift. Rage is a God-given gift. Listen. But the Bible says within that rage, you've got to be careful not to cross over into sin. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully. The Bible says that you are not to cross over into sin. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. What's the point? The point is this. What does sin mean? Missing the mark. Sin means you missed the mark. What that says is it's okay to be angry, but don't get so angry that you miss the mark. Do you hear me? Be angry, but don't miss the mark with your anger, because the goal of the anger is to give you a bullseye. Listen to me. The goal of the anger is to give you a bullseye, to help you find a solution, to get right to the heart of the problem. Listen. But if it's misguided, the goal of the anger is I get mad about something, we cut out all the other nonsense, and we get right to the heart of the problem. But if it is misguided anger and you miss the mark, church, are you understand what I'm telling you? If you miss the mark with your anger, then it doesn't matter. Amen. Anger is a God-given thing that is to help pinpoint the bullseye to get right to the problem. But if it's emotion and it's not designed properly and it's not aimed properly, then it's misguided. And it's not that the origin of the emotion was wrong. It's again that your aim, you have to guide that anger and the frustration is to the point to where you do not sin. Somebody needs to hear this morning. I need to hear this morning. You need to guide your anger, because rage will always produce regrettable results. Church, we can all get angry and blow up, but it's misguided. It's missing the mark. Does that make sense? Anger is a gift. If it's used right, it can get you straight to the heart of the problem. Y'all don't get it. They don't get it, Dustin. I'm going to have to preach this one again. Does that make sense? It wasn't the anger. It wasn't the rage. It got Moses in trouble. It was misguided. It was misguided. The second thing that Moses did is once he responded in rage was he ran. I think that's the response that a lot of us have. We get mad and then we run. We get mad and then we rage. And then we take off running. Oh, you ain't know y'all got rabbit in your blood. I'm the only one. You get rageful. You get mad. You get angry. And then you run. We rage and then we run. We say something and then we run. We cause a problem and then we run. We create a situation and then we run. We run from the problem. We run from our mistakes. We run from the pain. We run from the injustices. We run, we run, we run, and we do everything we can to get as far away from it as possible. Right? We run, we rage, we blow this thing up, and then we run to get as far away from it as possible. Ain't that what we do, church? We run from the problem, we run from it, we try to get as far away from it as possible, and the enemy loves this. The enemy loves when God's people don't face their problems. The enemy loves when God's people don't face the problem. He loves to tell people, well, if you'll run far enough, if you'll run hard enough, if you'll run away, eventually it'll all go away. Eventually, poof, it just disappears. Any of y'all ever had problems magically disappear from running? Oh, me either. I tried to run. It'll all be fixed. But wherever you are, there you are. Wherever you run to, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you run, guess what? You're going to be there. You're going to be there. And one of the greatest things that you can do in your life is make the call that I'm not running from this. I'm not running from this. Whatever this is, I have no idea what it is. I could run. It would be easier for me to run. I feel like running. As a matter of fact, in my mind, I think the best thing to do is to run. Amen. But to make the decision to say, I'm done running. I'm done trying to get away from it. I'm done trying to run from my problems. I'm going to take this moment and I'm going to face what it is that's going on in my life. I'm afraid to face it. I don't want to face it. I'm fearful to face it. I'm scared to death. I'm over my head. I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to keep running from this situation in my life anymore. Amen. Because inevitably what it leads to, listen, inevitably what it leads to, if you let that emotion and you allow that emotion that created the mistake, that created the rage to keep ruling your life and causing you to run, then you'll end up like Moses did for 40 years in retreat. In retreat. If you allow that emotion to continue to rule your life, that emotion that caused you to miss the mark, that emotion that caused you to run, and you allow it to continue to rule your life, you will do just like Moses, and you'll stay in retreat for 40 years. For 40 years, he's hiding in retreat. Some people spend their whole life in retreat mode, hiding as far from God as they can possibly get. You know, I know people, and I hear people that I talk to, I hear them say it, and they say how they used to love God once, how they were on fire for the Lord, how they used to serve God. And now they'll say they're atheists, or they don't want to serve God no more, or they don't want to do this. And immediately I know in my heart, you're just in hiding. You're just in hiding. You're in retreat. You know I'm in this habitual sin and I've just given up on it. No. There's something going on. There's some misguided emotion in your life that's got you running. And you've given up and you're in retreat and you're in hiding. It's not the sin that you can't get over, church. Listen to me very carefully. It's not the sin that you can't get over. If you haven't gone back to figure out what was going on, that was probably initially a godly desire, but it just got misguided. It's not the sin that you can't get over, but it's that misguided godly desire. And now the enemy has used that. Listen to me. The enemy has used that to continue to push you as far away from God as he possibly can. People say, I'm a drug addict. People say, I'm a drug addict. You're not a drug addict. You're a child of God. I'm not saying you don't have an addiction problem. I'm not saying you don't have an addiction problem. But you are not a drug addict. You are a child of God. You may have an addiction problem, but you ultimately are in retreat. You're trying to hide. Amen. And Moses is like that. He is in hiding. He is in this place of strife. He is in this place of pain for 40 years. For 40 years. But this is the key. If you ever think to yourself, who am I? If you ever think to yourself, what can I do? That's the answer of someone who's in hiding. Think about it. When you ask yourself, what can I do? Who am I? That is the answer of someone in hiding. hiding in insecurity. For Moses, he was hiding in strife. For some, it's hiding in shame. For others, it's hiding in laziness and apathy. Some people hide behind religion. And they ask themselves the question, who am I? And I love what God's response was to Moses in Exodus 3:12. He says, I will certainly be with you. He said, no matter where you go. Moses said, who am I? What can I do? And God said, I will certainly be with you. Whatever it is, whatever has God called you to do, he said, I am with you. I love the answer from God. He says, wherever you are, Moses, here I am. Who am I? What can I do? And God's response, he says, whatever place you're in and whoever you think that you're not, whatever place you're in, church, and whoever you think you're not, God says, I will certainly be with you wherever you go. Church, that's what he said. He said, I will certainly be with you wherever you go. Come on, church. Ain't you glad that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Give him a shout of praise this morning. Come on, praise him this morning. You glad he didn't leave you where he found you? God said, wherever you go, I am with you. Psalm 139, verse 7, David said this, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If you're in a place where you're saying, who am I? God's response is, I am with you. I am with you. If you're asking that question, come on, somebody. Know that he is with you. I'm with you in the divorce. I'm with you in the pain. I'm with you in the hurt and the injustices that are going on in our world. I'm with you in the middle of the fear in our country and world right now. He said, I'm with you in all the devastation from the wars and the natural disasters that we've been facing and we're still dealing with. God said, I am with you. Amen. And whatever you're going through, whatever place you are, God's answer is, I will certainly be with you. Amen. So God tells Moses, I'm almost done, y'all. Hang on. God tells Moses in Exodus 3:5, he said, I want you to take your shoes off, Moses. He said, we got to get on the other side of this. Amen. He said, we got to get on the other side of this. I want you to take your shoes off, Moses, because this is holy ground. This is holy ground. No more running. No more retreat. No more rage or misguided emotions. Moses, take them running shoes off, boy. Take off all the options. He said, this is holy ground. And God, listen, begins to talk to Moses about as long as he's hiding out, as long as he's running, as long as he's in retreat, there are hurting people, Moses, that are needed to be rescued. You're over here hiding. You're over here hiding. And there's people that need to be rescued, Moses. He said, get out of hiding. I got a job for you. Moses, you cannot rescue people until you take those running shoes off. Stop running, Moses. Stop running from your calling. You cannot go and help bring healing to people as long as you're raging, as long as you're running and retreating. Moses, he said, there's so much I can do in you. This is the vision I have for you. You know God has a vision for you, but you cannot do it in this place with all of those doubts. You've got to get it in your heart and your spirit that I am with you, that I am with you. And Moses says, okay, God, fine, I'll go. And there has to be a time in our life and your life where you just get to that place, church. Here I am. Not much about the place that I am. Not much to say about it. Not much to brag about. Who am I? Not much to say about who this is. But if you're with me, God, if you're with me, I'll go. That's what Moses said. He said, but if you're with me, I'll go. And I love that Philippian scripture. Paul said it so well. It's so quoted, but it's so beautifully said, Philippians 4:13, right here. And he said, I can do all things. Everybody say all things. Philippians 4:13. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that the answer? Here I am. Who am I? The answer is he is with you. Amen. And you can do all things. There is not one thing we're up against as a nation. There is not one thing we're up against as God's people. There is not one thing we're up against as a church. There's not one thing we're up against as parents. If you're a young person, come on somebody. If you're a young person, there's not one thing that you're up against. If you're a single mother, there is not one thing you're up against. That God's response is this. If you will settle it in your heart that I am with you. All things. Everybody say all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, who gives you the strength. Come on, stand to your feet for me this morning. Stand to your feet.